what a phenomenal year 2015. And God's word says that these things are nothing compared to what he is going to do in Isaiah 43. Right now, as we get ready to worship for our very first time in 2016, let's give our first fruits, which is our very best in worship. So stand to your feet. Let's worship our God and give our very best for 2016, our first worship.
If you're online watching right now, you need to stand wherever you are and worship as loud as you can right in the room that you're watching. Come on now, let's love Jesus together. Are you ready? Come on, give God a shout in 2016. Hallelujah.
Come on down front and give God your praises on today. And it says this. Oh, Lord, you are awesome. And we say, Lord, you are awesome. We're talking right to our God. Say it again. Lord. Let's say it again. Everybody come on and say, Lord,
you are awesome.
We serve one master and one God.
Lord, you are awesome.
He is the one that's risen. And we say,
Lord, you are awesome.
Oh, and we sing to him.
Lord, you are awesome.
If it wasn't for your love, if it wasn't for your love.
stronger.
Come on, come on.
God, you are higher than any.
Carry the worship, come on.
Our God is healer.
Awesome.
Awesome in power, our God.
Uh-huh.
Our God.
Say it one more time, our God.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
God, you are higher.
God, you are higher than any other.
Our God is healer.
God is healer.
Awesome in power.
Awesome in power, our God.
We're going to sing it together.
Our God.
Water you turn.
Water you turn into wine.
Everybody say.
Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you.
There's no one in the cosmos.
None.
He came and got us out of the ashes.
Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
No one like you.
Like you.
Everybody, let's say. And worship him with your voice. Hallelujah. Come on, give him the glory. Come on, in this place.
You give it life. You are love. Bring life to darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Everybody say, you give life and
you give life. You are love.
Come on, let's say it.
You give light to the darkness.
You give hope. You restore
every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Now you open your mouth and you declare, it's your life.
It's your
everybody.
You delight, you are love, you bring light to the darkness.
You restore every heart. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He's magnificent. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Everyone, let's go.
And all the earth will shout your praise.
Father God, we stand in your presence with your breath being in our lungs. You are the true and living God. And we give your name the praise. We know that you're great. We know that you're awesome. And so we lift you in this place. How great are you, God? We sing to you, how great are you, God? And I will sing, how great, how great are you, God? Many things happened last year that you thought you wouldn't make it out of, but you're standing here as a living testimony. That devil was a lie. He still is a lie. And he always will be a liar. So God is great. If God is great, I want you to shout. Come on, shout. Shout from the depths of your soul. Shout because he made you whole. Shout. God. Let's go.
Sing with me, how great.
Come on.
Is our God. Oh, sing, how great. How great.
Is our God.
Is our God.
Yeah. Sing it again. How great. How great.
Is our God. Sing with me, how great.
So we pour out. pour out my praise. It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
Holy Spirit, we thank you for the privilege of standing in the presence of the Father this morning. Thank you that today we can lift our holy hands without wrath or malice, and we can declare that you are an awesome God, that you are truly the King of Kings. Father, we thank you that this is not about a religious thing, the motion that we go through, but that today we are actually singing before the throne of the King. We honor you, Father. We honor you and thank you for the privilege of the blood of Christ. Thank you for the privilege of standing here, pure and holy before you. God, when we sing, you said you're looking for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you that you see us. And God, that you are here with us. Holy Spirit, we need you more than we've ever needed you before. We ask that every single person in this room, in the name of Jesus, come on them like a blanket today. Whew. In Jesus' name. We release the anointing of the Holy Spirit that destroys every yoke of bondage. God, we thank you that today we can stand here in the literal presence and power of God. As an individual here, it's a very strange sensation. It almost feels like your scalp is, it's a flap of your scalp on the top of the left side of your head. It almost feels like it's coming off. And I don't have a clue. All I know is I'm going to speak to your scalp. In the name of Jesus, I command the cause of the sensation to now be eliminated. I command you to go. Get ready. Now.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that, Lord, you heal this morning. There's another individual on the bottom end, if you go up by like 6 inches, from the bottom of your tailbone up on your right-hand side, your muscles have become very weak. And I don't know whether you strained it, stressed it, but you have back problems because of the weakness of that muscle. Get ready. You're going to feel the fire of God come on you right now. Lord, I release the fire of God right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. I command right now that muscle to be restored and healed for the glory of God. That, Lord Jesus, you'll be glorified, and they'll give you testimony of the greatness of the King, that he heals and makes people whole. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I speak to the back. Lord, because of the weakness, it lists in one direction. I command right now for you to straighten by the power of God muscles. Lord, I command all the tissue to be made whole by the power of heaven. Father, the back will be straight right now. And that, Lord, you'll get glory from, Lord, touching them in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Isn't his presence awesome? 2016, we start off with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Man, this is just a touch. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Can you imagine being in the presence of God himself? I'm not talking like he's here, but I'm talking like we are there. Man, what an amazing experience that is going to be. The great part is that we can bring heaven to earth just by what you're doing, for he inhabits the praises of his people. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome 3 or 4 folks that you don't know. Don't be a snob. Don't just go sit down. Say hi to somebody you don't know. Make sure you go shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Your breath.
To participate in the next Women's Encounter. It will be March 10th through 12th, and the cost is only $325, and that includes everything. You need to hurry and sign up, though, because space is limited. Only 16 ladies will be able to sign up for this, so get your deposit to me as soon as you can. A minimum deposit of $200 by February 1st will secure your place for the next Women's Encounter. Email me or grab me in the foyer, Carla@histabernacle.com.
You are cordially invited to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday gala. This will be an evening full of dinner and entertainment as we celebrate the life and the legacy of Pastor Michael Spencer. This gala will take place on April 1st, 2016 at the Watkins Glen Harbor Hotel. Tickets are $60 per person, and feel free to visit the link below to register for this event. We look forward to sharing this exciting evening with you.
Hey HG family, welcome to the first service of 2016. I want to invite you out tomorrow night through Thursday night, the 4th through the 7th, 7 to 8 p.m. I want to invite you to our week of prayer and fasting. The church is coming together tomorrow night at 7 p.m. all the way through Thursday for 1 week of prayer and fasting. We want to see you there. Join our pastors, join our church, praying down heaven, seeking God's will for our lives and for our church. Join us tomorrow night.
and the microphone. Am I on now? Oh, wow.
Yes, you are.
I can't hear myself up here.
We can hear you, Rhonda.
Pastor Spencer, where'd you go? Okay, well, anyways, how awesome. I am so excited about this first service of 2016. It is our opportunity. You may feel like there is no significance at all. It's just another day. That is not the case. This is our opportunity for first fruits. We are able to sow with our praise. This morning, we sowed with our praise for our 2016. How awesome to be able to start out different, to really give our very best in praise and worship so that we will have a harvest of praise and worship. We sowed this morning. I pray that you sow your faith, that it will increase. Sowing our time. We're going to sow our flesh. We have this next week, Minister Randall just announced it, the week of prayer and fasting. This is a time to set the order for our entire year. Everything that we do in this first week of 2016 is first fruits. It's sowing for how your 2016 is going to go. So I encourage every one of you to participate with fasting and prayer. It is a powerful time. The Word of God says that some things only come out by fasting and prayer. And we're gonna sow our time and we're going to sow our flesh this beginning week of 2016. There are many different ways you can fast. We have a packet here. If you'd like one, if you'd raise your hand, I believe the ushers have them available. Do we? Or we could get them really quickly to pass these out so that you can participate with fasting and prayer. There are so many different levels of fasting. You know, this year I want to take it up another level. I want to crucify every area of my flesh that I can think of. So I've determined for social media, which is just awful. So let's just fast it anyways. Negativity fast. Some of us don't realize how negative we are until you start trying to fast any negative thought or word. So that's one of the things that I'm going to add this year. Financial fast. Fasting all extras. Because what happens when you fast? You tend to try to overdo it in one area. So if you're giving up food, then you tend to go out shopping and spend lots of money. So I'm just going to take it from all angles and crucify my flesh. So whatever type of fast you determine to do, please participate with fasting. Every night we're going to meet here for prayer. This is going to set the tone for your home, for this church. We're meeting here from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday night, we're praying for faith and healing. Tuesday, we're praying over your finances. Bring your bills, bring your finances, bring what you're believing God for, and we're going to lay them right on the altar, and we're going to pray over them. Wednesday, we're praying over the lost and for salvation. So anybody in your family, any of your friends, anybody you're believing God for that you get to be a witness to, bring a picture or their name, put it up on the altar, and we're going to pray over those. And Thursday night is youth, and we'll be praying over our region. So make sure you participate with this fast. It is going to be your first, the very first thing you're planting in the ground for your harvest. I am so excited about first fruits. There is significance in a new year and even in your giving. So at this time of tithes and offerings, the Word of God in Proverbs 3:9 says to honor the Lord with your giving and give of your first fruits of all of your increase. So this is our opportunity to give our first fruits, which is our very best. The Word of God breaks it down and says it's our best. So your very first tithe and offering and giving of 2016 is your first fruit that we're putting in the ground to sow for our harvest of 2016. So determine today that we're not just throwing money in a bucket. Amen. We're sowing our first fruit into the ground for our harvest for 2016 in so many different levels, in so many different ways. Today, 2016, this first week is significant. Yeah. Don't let it just blow by like it's another day. It is very significant. Every action, everything that you're doing is planting for your harvest in 2016. So let's stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration, sowing for our harvest, what we want to see come out of our lives in 2016. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and sow your first fruit today. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and give your first fruits right along with us.
And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
Praise the Lord. As we're mingling through the congregation, we had two individuals with those word of knowledge. For those who don't know what that is, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that God will deposit a little bit of information about somebody's situation that you do not know, and that the gifts of healing will flow with that. And we had a young lady, she came up, she said, that was my scalp, and God's healed me. She even told me the condition that she had. Glory to God. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And then another individual came up and said, that was exactly my back. That's the exact same spot. The Lord loves to heal you. Turn to someone and say, God wants to heal your body, your mind, and your life. How many of you need your life healed up? My goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all the guests today. We are so excited that you are here. We actually have, we know some of you didn't get located while you were coming in. If you are a brand new guest, we're not going to make you stand up and embarrass you. But if you're a brand new guest, and if it's your first time at His Tabernacle, if you'll just raise your hand up this morning, we would love to just recognize you real quickly. Mary Puma, you've been here for like forever. Mary Puma's here from Florida. Glory to God. If it's the very first week, come on, if you'd like to just raise your hand, if you're a guest this morning. Is there any first-time guest this morning? Well, the young man right over there. Look at that. And that his dad right there. Do we have, we need, there we go. Yeah, they'll get to you. They're walking. Let's run. It's very exciting to watch people run. Is there anyone else this morning, your first-time guest at His Tabernacle? You didn't already get a packet, but you would like one. Amen. Is that the young man in the back? You've been here. I know you. Young lady right there. Very good. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? We've been having between, I believe Pastor Dan told me, between 15 and 20-plus guests every single week. And we just want you to know that you're welcome here and that you're cared for and that you are loved. We have a phenomenal staff. And this morning, we would like to do something very exciting. And that is, we want to sing Pastor Daniel Dykes' happy birthday. He's 45 today. Pastor Dan is 45. Glory to God. Pastor Dan, will you come forward? How many of you love Pastor Daniel Dykes? Now, let's sing it my way first.
No.
No, you don't want to sing it my way?
No.
You want to sing it my way? Here we go. Here's mine. A happy birthday. A happy birthday. People dying everywhere. It's a horrible song. I don't know. Can we sing it? Let's sing Pastor Dan.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy dear Pastor Dan.
Let's give him a hand clap. He's a blessing to us. We got a great staff. We want to again welcome all of those, our online family. If you're watching by live stream this morning, we want to say we love you. We thank you that you're watching by live stream. We'd love to have you here, but if not here, we're glad you're there. Can we give everybody on live stream just a big shout? Hallelujah. Every single week, there's between 75 and 100 computers represented. That could mean well into the 125, 150 people are watching every week from all over the world right here. Isn't that crazy? It's exciting. Right in the middle of the cornfield. Glory be to Jesus. We thank God for Horseheads, New York. God's blessing us. And so we just want to say thank you so much. Make sure you're here for the fasting and prayer. I know my wife mentioned it. Please be here. I know that you'll be blessed. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to know how. You just come and you'll learn. You don't even have to pray out loud. Just come and be in the presence of the Lord and agree with us in prayer all week long. Now, some of you can fast, and some of you can't fast physically, but you can fast things. Now, for me, fasting food is really easy. So I have no problem. I know it doesn't look it. But fasting food is really easy. So I have to fast social media. You know, the only time I'll be on that is when I'm just giving somebody a shout out or follow up on somebody or posting something that's needed. But no, none of that stuff this week. And there's a lot of other kind of fasts. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you read those pamphlets if you get a chance. And so are you ready? We're going to get ready to start the message. She's great, isn't she? And she can preach. This week is exciting for our personal family, which, you know, is also affecting you, and that is our son Chad and his wife Jade come home. So they'll be home on Wednesday. They fly into Rochester, so we're going to pick them up in Rochester. And so Chad Michael and Jade Spencer, we like saying that, she took our name, glory to God, will be coming here, and they'll be taking over all of the young adults ministries. So if you're 19 to 25, married or single, we're going to be starting a ministry just for you. And we want you to know that you have support and that in this time of struggle, what's that? I will do the intro. It's just a matter of time. So, you know, we just want to make sure that you know they're coming and be prepared. And it's going to be a great ministry for you. Amen. This is the year of... What do you mean you don't know? For all of our guests, every year, we have a vision at His Tabernacle. His Tabernacle does three things. What do? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. Come on, let's say it out loud. At His Tabernacle, we love God, we save souls, we develop leaders. What are those three things that we do? We love God, save souls. That is the destiny of His Tabernacle Family Church. In fact, right after this service, we'll be going into class, for those who haven't taken it yet, into Catch the Vision, when it's my week, and I'm going to tell you all the miracles it took for you to sit in the chair that you're sitting in right now. So right after this service, we'll invite you to come right over on this side so you can join the class. It's only 1 month, to where you can learn the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church. So this is the year of... Oh, you still don't know. Okay. Last year was the year of the kingdom. The verse that we had for the year is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Learning the principles of the keys of the kingdom of God are imperative for you to be successful in your walk with God here on this planet. God has not called you to be a Christianette. God has called you to be a son and a daughter. God has called you to be a prince and a princess. God has called you to be an ambassador of the Most High King. You are not just some meandering individual that has a religious tag across your head. But you are a powerful, supernatural, anointed, Holy Ghost-filled son and daughter of the Most High King. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So this is the year of... Oh, you still don't know. Let's have the intro. Brother Ricker, that's your turn. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? This is the year of... Boy, I look bald there. Did you see that? Lord Jesus. Here we sit like birds in the wilderness. Lights. Seed. You see, everything that we have, everything that we are, is wrapped within the seed. When you study and understand the principles of the kingdom of God, you cannot go away from. In fact, you must absolutely embrace the principles of the seed. The verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Come on, let's read that one more time together. Let's read 1, 2, 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall I'm gonna prosper. Shout, I'm gonna prosper. God doesn't want you poor. God doesn't want you just making it by in life. And I'm not even talking money. I'm talking your health, your wealth, and your family. God wants you to prosper in everything you do. And the only way to prosper is to understand kingdom seed. When you understand the principles of kingdom seed, literally every portion of your life will be enveloped by this doctrine, this word, this principle, this eternal gospel that will change your life. The book of Genesis chapter 1 talks about how the kingdom seed is principle. Genesis chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "And the earth brought forth its grass, and the herbs yield seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind." Even God himself lives by the principles of seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, "And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man where he had formed." You see, God learned, God brought forth, God instituted the principles of seed. Every one of us, every single day, live within this principle. We live it with our mouth. We live in it with our life. We live in it with our finances. We live in it in our actions. Every single moment of our life is the principle of seed time and harvest. Now, as believers, we found that there are people in the past that have warped and twisted and contorted and manipulated to get things from people. But we've got to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have got to grasp this principle that is eternal and touches every one of our lives every single day. And we've got to start living the principle of kingdom seed. Every single day, we all run into the same principle, that what we lay down as seed will come to fruition. The Bible declares in Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8, "For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Every one of us with our actions every day are seeding, and therefore what we seed, we will harvest. You heard me say not too long ago, and it was, I believe, just in the last portion of last year, that everyone in this room is living the harvest of the seeds that you have planted. Many people don't like to hear that because they might not enjoy what they're going through. But every one of us, we have planted seeds of our life. We have planted seeds of success. We have planted seeds of failure. We have planted seeds of division. We have planted seeds of growth. We have planted seeds, no matter what it is, no matter whether you agree or disagree, those seeds will always bring a harvest in your life, for it is an eternal principle that no matter whether you're Christian or not a Christian, it still is active in your life. The promise is that this law that governs us will never stop. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." The quicker we learn this principle, the more we understand about the principle of kingdom seed, the more that we can set ourselves up for success. You know, we've seen people that have been successful, and, you know, we're not talking these people running around and driving their Lamborghinis. We're talking normal people where they enter into a place of retirement and not have to rely on the government. Well, how is that? Because they, with wisdom, planted seeds of success for their retirement. We have found people in our lives that have done right things and therefore reaped the right things. And we've also in our lives have sown negative, and we've also found that negative has been reaped in our lives. We cannot get away from this principle. It is always going to be true. And the quicker we learn the kingdom and kingdom seed, the more we'll live within the progress and the design of heaven. This is God's design. This is not a man's design. This is not a church creation to get more money out of you. This is an eternal principle that the sooner we learn it, the quicker we can start planting seeds and reap harvests that we are desiring to have. You know, I said something also, and I don't know if it was in the leadership training on Tuesdays or in here, was this. Because every one of us are living the harvest of the seeds that we planted, so many individuals, what they end up doing is they just go and seed, but never care about what they're going to get from that. When you are a wise planter, you don't ever plant the seed, you plant the harvest. Let me say it again. When you learn the principle of eternal or the kingdom seed, you learn that you're always planting for the harvest, not just planting a seed. I'm going to say it one more time. When you are a kingdom seeder, when you are one who is wise and wants and to receive a harvest that will be a blessing and not a cursing, you never plant for the seed, you plant for the harvest. That means your life becomes not accidental, but it becomes very intentional. There are many believers that are not intentional. They just kind of live life. And I've heard this said so many times. Well, you know, everything that happens, happens for a reason. That is a bunch of hogwash, and you won't find that in the scripture. The fact is that we are the ones who plant for what we're going to receive. We are the ones who are planting for the harvest. It's not by chance or by luck. We are believers. We don't believe in luck. For the Son of God is walking in our path. He is the one who said the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. We cannot fail. For as God is for us, who can be against us? This time to recognize that we are the seed planters that are producing and providing and bringing forth the harvest in our own lives. Can I hear an amen or oh my? See, this is the year we're going to learn to grab a hold of our lives and not live by accident anymore. We're going to learn and see how God is going to manifest greatness through us so that the world will look at the church again and say, wow, I want to be part of who you are. I don't know what you got, but I want what you got. I don't know who you serve. What church do you go to? Listen, it's not about the church. It's about the sons and daughters in the church. For this is no more than just a building. And if it burns tomorrow, then it burns tomorrow. But the one thing that will never be burned, and that is the body of the living God. You are the church. You are the body. And the world needs to look at the church again, just like they did in Israel, and say, I don't know what it is, but I know God is on your side. Every true tree produces fruit. This is where we're at. Every one of us are producing fruit in our lives, whether you like it or not. If you look at your life right now, in every aspect, you've got to ask yourself, what am I receiving? What is my harvest? What is happening in my life that I like and I don't like? What am I receiving in my life right now? Some of you have a hard life. Some of you are living in poverty. Some of you are living in wealth, but you are still filled with poverty. Some of you got troubles that you caused all by yourself. You can't even blame the devil. Every one of us are living the fullness of the seeds that we planted in our life. I've determined years ago, you're sitting in the determination that we are not going to live, my wife and I are not going to live on accident. We are going to plan and place seed in the ground that is going to produce a harvest so that I can declare, as the word says in that Psalms 1:3, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. And I love that. Flowing out of the innermost. That whatever brings forth fruit. Let me read it over here in the Psalms, because I got a little added over here that I want to share with you. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says this: Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding of fruit. God has called you to be a fruit producer. God has called you to be blessed and not cursed. There's a lie that is permeated into the church world, and that says this: that poverty makes you closer to God. I want to address that very clearly, because I'm not talking about money. Poverty has nothing to do with finances. It has everything to do with your head. As a man thinks, so he... See, as believers, God has called us to be a testimony on this planet, not just survivors until the trumpet sounds. God has not called us to be survivors on this planet. Well, Pastor, I know I've heard of people being martyred. They are victorious, and they're going to get a crown that prayerfully none of us get. They didn't lose, they gained. As a believer, God has called you to be a person that is not living in the mindset of barely making it by, where your leaf is withering and where you're barely just surviving. You are nothing more than a survivor on this planet. We are going to purge that this year. We're going to abolish that this year. We're going to get that out of our lives this year. And God is going to bring us to a place of prosperity this year. In every fiber, God is going to bless your family like it's never been blessed before. God is going to bless you at work like you've never been blessed before. God is going to bless your finances and your hands and what you touch like it's never been blessed before. God is going to bless your health like he's never blessed it before. Well, why and how? Because we are going to be people that are trees planted by the water, the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, Jesus declared, out of the innermost belly will flow the anointing, that water that you don't and will not ever be quenched, talking about the Holy Spirit. We are going to be trees that are going to be seeds first, that are planted in the ground, and we're going to place ourselves with expectancy. We're going to place ourselves with anticipation, and God is going to grow us up by the Holy Ghost, and God is going to be the restorer, God is going to be the builder, and God is going to be the strengthener of your life. Turn to someone and say, I believe in blessing and not cursing. Oh, there's a bunch of preachers out there right now. They just actually preach that if you've got money in your pocket, then you got pride in your head. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. The Bible says that there are always going to be poor amongst you, and that you're always going to need to give to the poor. But if you're poor, how can you give to the poor? God wants to start blessing your life so you have abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. And this does not come on accident. For the seed has to hit the ground, and then there must be water. And every time there is water, there will always bring forth a harvest. Whatever we sow, we'll reap, period. Well, I want you to know this is just the introduction. You see, next week we're going to start getting into real principles that are going to change your life. These seed principles, you know, I love asking pastors what the last message they will ever preach will be. If they had the choice to preach one last message in their whole life, one that they know will leave the largest impact, I've asked multiples, and I said, what would that be? And two of them said the exact same thing. Two of them said, it would be the principles of the seed, for it literally envelops every portion of a person's life. Every one of us are reaping harvest. What is your harvest? Some of you sat back this year, and in fact, you're in church today simply because you made a resolution. I'm making a New Year's resolution. I'm going to be in church. Let me tell you how it usually goes. I'm excited you made that, but I'm going to tell you how to keep your seed in the ground. Usually by the third month, all those folks are gone. They forgot the resolution. But I'm declaring that this year, you want to preach it, honey? I'm not sure. That this year, you're going to plant a seed of determination that you are not going to be moved, and that consistency is everything in your life. And you're going to be solid. You're going to learn these principles. And from this year, I love the catapult. You're going to be catapulted into prosperity in every fiber of your life. And God is going to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. You see, God lives by this principle. As I said in Genesis 2 verse 8, that he planted the garden. God used seed to plant the garden. Every one of us, we need to recognize that if God lives by this principle, if God started this principle, then we are the ones who follow his principle. He doesn't follow ours. Well, I tried it and it didn't work. Baby, if it didn't work, then you've got to ask yourself where you put your seed. If you're putting your seed in dry, dead ground, then you can't be shocked when the production that you're receiving is dry and dead. And if you're not planting a seed in faith, then anything done outside of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So when we plant a seed, we plant it with faith and expectation. We plant it with anticipation. Every farmer does the exact same thing. Every single time they're getting ready to plant a field, they know what they're planting. They either choose corn or peas or some other process that they want for a harvest. And then with understanding, they prepare the ground. After they prepare the ground, they make sure, and I'm talking putting nutrients in the ground if necessary. And then they go and they plant it, and then they make sure that the ground is taken care of so that the seed will come forth. And the very first is the ear starts to go up. We talk about corn. You start seeing the sprout come out of the ground, and all of a sudden you've got yourself a stalk, and then off the stalk you've got yourself your corn. And that one piece of corn, that one sowing of corn, that one piece of corn that you have sown, the life that's in the corn produces well over 500 other seeds. Every one of us need to recognize that God has greatness for you. God doesn't have weakness. God has greatness. It's time for the church to stop being this, well, you know, I love the Lord, and I'm just waiting for Jesus to come so quickly. Listen, I want Jesus to come. I want to be one of the 10 virgins that's prepared for the Messiah to come, for the bridegroom to come. But I want you to know while I'm here, I'm going to do the will and the work of heaven. I'm going to be planting seeds so that I can receive crowns, so that I can cast them at his feet. We need to recognize that we're not here to suck air, but God has placed us here as sons and daughters, as ambassadors to make a dent and a destruction in the devil's kingdom. And that comes as we plant seeds of understanding to get the work of God done. Can I hear an amen? John chapter 12, verse 24 says this, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The very first prophecy of the scripture, does anybody know what that is? It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The very first prophetic word in all the word. And it's God prophesying about his son. He says this, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first prophecy about God planting seed in your life. My wife said she had a question for me at 3 a.m. I was very glad she didn't ask it. 5:30 this morning, she propped herself up in bed. I went, and one of the things we're fasting is coffee. So, yeah, we used to do that like cold turkey, and then you realize you can't pray. Your head hurts so bad, you can't even pray. So we take a month now, and we slowly get off. We go to decaf and get off the coffee. So this morning, we're both off coffee, and so she goes, and I bring her tea in bed, and she says, I have a question for you. She said, what about the Gentiles before Paul started preaching the gospel? Where did they go? And I said, well, sadly, the Bible says there were some strangers that came into the Jewish faith. They were circumcised and brought into the Jewish faith and recognized in that process. But I said, the majority of the Gentiles, before the divine secret was released, they did not go to heaven. They went to hell. And she said, well, I've got to think about this. But I'm thinking about this now. You see, God thought about it before he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, I'm going to prepare a seed. I'm going to prepare a son. This principles of seed time and harvest, it's not just something that I'm going to make the world live. I'm going to live it too. And one day, and that we see it right now, we celebrated just a few weeks ago, that Mary, that young virgin, the Holy Spirit came upon her and planted a seed. And that day, the Messiah started to be grown on this planet. You see, Jesus is the first seed. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus is the one that came. And God said, I know I've got to plant a seed if I'm going to get a harvest. And right now, I want you to realize that you're sitting in this room, not because of it's a religious institution, but you're here today because the seed of heaven, the Son of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That the seed of heaven was planted on this earth, and The devil bruised his heel, but Jesus Christ bruised his head. I want you to hear today that Jesus took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? What has happened is this, is that the seed of heaven has produced a harvest all over the world called sons and daughters of God. God wants you to be steadfast, immovable. That comes where you plant. The church you go to has a direct determination on how much fruit you'll produce. People don't like to hear that because they think every church is the same, and that's just not true. Well, pastor, are you saying your church is the best? Well, no, I would never say that. But I say, I know this. If you plant here, I know you're going to grow a good tree. Because I'm going to give you the word. Someone said to me yesterday, well, you know, I would like to say that I didn't know, but I learned it here. We're a teaching church because I know that the seeds of the word, when they hit your spirit, they are going to start to grow, and the word of God will not return void, and God's word will change your life from the inside to the out, and God's word is true and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it is all complete. I know that God said, I hold my word even above my name. I'm here to declare to you today as sons and daughters that it's time to recognize that seed time and harvest has not ever ceased, and that every one of us must know kingdom seed so that we can bring forth a harvest that we're believing for. Some of you have had dreams you've never had come true, and the reason is you've never seeded for them. Some of you have your dreams collapsing. Why? Because you seeded for it. Every one of us are producing what we've seeded for. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That eternal principle is here in this room. You see, I believe that God has called us to change this region for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We've just made significant changes in even the busing so that we can reach more children for Jesus. I'm believing God for 500 every single Wednesday night. I'm believing for another 500 every single Thursday night. That's just on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I'm believing God that the college and career ministry, we see so many college and career kids walking away from Jesus today. I'm believing that this young couple that is coming is going to ascertain, and they're going to bring a massive harvest into that age group so they don't have to walk away from God. They have somebody that will support them and speak the word into their lives. I'm believing God that we are going to have such voice. Oh, this week, on Monday, my wife and I stood. We stood before the Elmira Council, and they called us up. They called up not Michael Spencer and Rhonda Spencer. They called up His Tabernacle Family Church. That's you. Come on, they called us up. And they brought us up front, and they said, we want to recognize you for how you are changing the city. One of the councilmen that did not get voted back in, he came up. It was his last meeting. He came up after, and he says, please come back to Southport. Please come back to Southport. We need you in Southport. You see, you're a world changer. But we always start with where we live. And God is calling you to plant seeds. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking your life. I want to give you a shout out. Over 30 people signed up last week to set up on Tuesday, on the Wednesday night service. I want to say thank you. You're planting seeds in your life, and whatever you sow, you shall harvest. We have a phenomenal body of Christ here, and I'm so excited that you're here. And today I want to give you a gift. I'm going to give everybody one of these, and what it is this. It's a little coin, and it says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you. We're going to give every one of you one of these. It's a little coin, and in that is a mustard seed, an actual mustard seed. I want you to carry that around, and every time you put your hand in your pocket, I want you to remember, I'm sowing, I'm sowing, I'm sowing. Whether I'm at work, whether I'm at play, whether I'm at home, or whether I'm in bed, whether I'm kneeling down by my bed, I am sowing, I am sowing, I am sowing. When you come to the house of God, I am sowing, I am sowing, I am sowing. Everything that we're doing is sowing, sowing, sowing. The mustard seed might be the smallest seed, but when that bush comes to fruition and comes to completion, the birds of the air come and find a nest in it. It is a place of refuge. It is a place of refreshing. It is a place of blessing. And today, this is who you are. Turn and tell somebody, I am the blessing of heaven. I want everybody to get one in your hand. Some of you said, Pastor, I've heard some of these messages. I haven't preached on seed faith in 9 years. That just shows how long you've been in church. Did everybody get yours? Look at it now. See that seed? See that seed? To many, it's nothing more than just a nice little seed, but to you, it means everything. Because you're seeding for your harvest. Next week, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in actually probably about 4 years. I'm going to preach a sermon on your faith wall. I'm going to teach you how to build a faith wall next week. And you don't want to miss it. Why? Because you're going to seed for with faith for what you're believing for this year. You're going to see how this principle is not just a nice little sermonette, but this is truly a life-transforming message that will change your entire life. You do not want to miss next week. You must cancel everything that you're doing. You have got to call into work. Don't lie and call in sick. You've got to know and get a hold of everybody, and you're going to get instructions, and we're going to teach you how to build a faith wall so that by the end of this year, you're going to have prayers answered like you've never had prayers answered before. You're going to be a tree planted by the water, and even if the scorching sun starts to come down, your leaves will not wither, and no matter what kind of wind comes, no matter how strong it might be, no matter how big the struggle, the one thing is for sure, that you have planted yourself by the streams of living water, the Holy Ghost, and God is going to strengthen you, so you'll become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. You are gonna prosper like you have never prospered before. And this is what this is for. So you can be a testimony to your friends. See, they're watching you whether you like it or not. They're watching your mouth. They're watching your actions. They're even watching how you live. And it brings a direct determination on whether they want to serve the God that you serve, or they got it good enough, they don't need your God. Is that one of the saddest things? Is when someone says, why would I need your God? I'm doing better than you. Isn't it time to change our lives? This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. I said, this is the year of kingdom seed. The eternal principle of heaven manifest in your life to produce a harvest that you desire from heaven. Can I hear an amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your eternal principle. I thank you that your word is true and not a lie. I thank you, God, that you showed us and right through not only you at creation, but how Jesus lived, walked, and talked. How the principles of seed always come to fruition. Jesus, I thank you that you were the seed that came and died and you brought forth much fruit. Thank you that today, God, we have the privilege of calling you Father. Thank you the privilege of being called citizens of heaven. Lord, today, if anybody's in this room that does not know you, God, we're not here to have them join a church. We want them to know you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the Bible says something very simple, and it's this. That if you want to save your life, you must lose your life. You see, you might have heard religion. If you join a church, you're going to heaven. That's hogwash. That is not true. Well, I grew up this religion. That means nothing in heaven. What makes a difference is that the one, the first seed, the first fruits, Jesus Christ, the one who came and died, he paid the price so that you and I could know and be brought back in relationship with the Father. Today, if you would like Jesus Christ to wash your sins away, you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life, you would like to be one that is going to be planted by the streams of living water so that your life will bring forth a harvest of greatness, not just here, but in heaven. You want to be saved. Saved? Saved from what? Saved from yourself. Saved from your sin. If you want to give your heart to Christ today, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Come on now, you got to get your hand up. Man, don't care about what anybody else says or thinks. This is your decision because it's your life. You can't live somebody else's life. They've got to live their life. You got to live your life. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody else this morning that needs Jesus Christ? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Five, come on. Get your hand up. Four, three, two. Thank you. One. Let's all stand to our feet. I'd like you to grab your coin. There's no magic in this coin. You can shake it. You can throw it. You can spit on it. You can dance around it. And it's still going to be a coin. But I want you to hold it up as a faith declaration. Did everybody get a coin? If you didn't get a coin, the ushers are going to be right at the back of the altar, and they're going to have a coin ready for you to hand to you, right, if you didn't get one. Don't take more than one. Plant your seed first, then worry about the next one.